as the Lord may be pleased to help me, I direct your attention to the 12th chapter of John and reading verse 20. The 12th chapter of John, verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Background of our subject this morning, and I say just a little. We read here that these men were Greeks, and oftentimes in those days that anyone that was not of the Jewish race, they called a Greek. It was equivalent to them as being called a Gentile. Often the difference was that when one that was a Gentile had become a proselyte or had accepted the Jewish faith, then they were not one of us exactly, but he called them Greeks. The Greeks were notorious for their study. No mark against them. I would to God that we too were like Greeks today, or like the Bereans, who searched the scriptures to see if these things were so. Friend, never, never point the finger at scorn at any who has a better knowledge of scriptures than ourselves. But I say much more so, or should we not indeed admire and adore the grace of God, where the scriptures are not only a knowledge in the head, but are life and matter in the very soul. And so it would seem that these men had heard of Jesus, but they had not seen him. There may be some here today who say, well, yes, I have heard of Jesus, but I've never seen him. I'm sure of this, that were many that heard of Jesus and would not have bothered to see him, had no interest to see him. And so that is so to die. But what a mercy, friend, if you can say this, sirs, we would see Jesus. We would not only know of him by the hearing of the ear, but oh, to be able to say like Job, but now mine eye seeth thee. And how do we know the difference? Why, as Job said, wherefore I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. I believe, friend, there is much a knowledge of sin today, but how little conviction of sin, and how little convincing of sin, whereby the soul doth need a Saviour. And who but Jesus Christ can save a poor a sinner from their sins? Sirs, we would see Jesus. And I say, where is it, wherein is Jesus to be seen? As I was reminded yesterday, that one was the life and testimony of Jesus Christ to her unbelieving husband. Friend, we would see Jesus then in ourself, either is in our walk, our conduct and conversation. And can you say that with regards to yourself? But I say, what a mercy. If this drives you to the throne of grace, Lord, we would see Jesus. I would see Jesus being born out in my life, in my walk and talk, oh, my conversation. How often everything seems so far off and so remote from that. We would see Jesus, why, that he might be glorified. I'm sure of this. What happened, the truth that we read of concerning Lazarus must have spread abroad throughout the Jewish nation or throughout Israel. Why? And so much so that the priests and the Pharisees were very much alarmed, and they did not want to see Jesus. Why? My friend, because they wanted to be the chief among the people. Their style and their suave nature that the people might admire. And you know, the day in which we live, there is plenty of that abounds today. And what is it, I say? Why, it's robbing God of his honour and glory and setting up our own self with our own self-importance. Yes, but what do the people want to see? And how oft times we fear that such people gain and gather a great following. But let me warn you, let me tell you this, that will never take your poor soul to heaven. No, it won't. We need a friend, Jesus, and he alone can take our soul to heaven. It is Jesus and Jesus alone that can do helpless sinners good. And so I say, in the sad day in which our lot is cast, when we see Zion, as it were, fallen apart, and men seeking the praise and the applaud of men, and doing anything that they might gain pleasure points with them, my friend, Jesus Christ is set at naught, is completely put on the back burner, as it were. Oh, it there but only a simmering knowledge, an idea of the truth. I say, we would see Jesus, yea, in the foremost and forefront. We would see Jesus, my friend, active in our hearts and in our life. That, oh, we may see Jesus having the preeminence over everybody and everything else. My friends, what a mercy. Oh, when that is so. I went to preach at a chapel recently. Why, it was at Rochdale, where those two good men of the past preached. They wanted to see Jesus. Mr. Warburton, John Warburton, followed by John Kershaw. But I say, are things different there? What will make a difference, I say, in such a place as that. It is one thing and one thing only, and that is we would see Jesus there. And we're not just talking about Rochdale. We're talking about Providence Chapel, Rotherfield. And so we may look around everywhere else. Friend, without Jesus, it's nothing but bare boards, is it not? It's deadness, it is inert. It may be filled with people, but friends, if Jesus is not seen, that people, I say, are sinking down into never-ending hell. Friend, forced religion, yes, indeed, is very popular today. Yes, a vain religion that is only imaginary. We would see Jesus. That is a real religion. We would see him, friend, as the sinner. As we would see him standing in the sinner's place instead. We would see Jesus. Oh, the word tells us so clearly. And I believe I preach from that word some while back now. Ye must be born again. Born again. If we can gain, grasp the idea in our minds that this present birth that we possess is not good enough. The present life that we live naturally is not good enough, but is condemned already under God's most holy law. Therefore, we would say Jesus. It is he, I say, that can lead us and teach us into the truth. Yes. Oh, how the day in which we live, we've heard it more than once recently, in print and verbally. What we need today is an academic religion of preaching. Well, that will suit the mind and heart of those who can grasp it. But those, I say, who are unable to grasp it, it will leave them behind. But you know, my friend, we would see Jesus in the preaching of the gospel. For there's no preaching so simple and so basic and fundamental as that of Jesus Christ. Friend, there was no flattery with Jesus, was there? He said unto Nathanael, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom was no guile. Friend, there was no guile in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he was not flattering Nathanael one little bit, but surely he beheld in him, like he saw those certain Greeks, he would see Jesus. Friend, he was a searcher of the scripture, was Nathanael. Jesus saw him under the fig tree. Remember this. If thou hast in thy heart a desire to see Jesus for thy soul's salvation, then be sure of this, the Lord has put it there. And the time will surely come when you shall surely say, not only did he shed his blood, but each shall say for me. Yes, oh sirs, we would see Jesus. Now, I want to come and gather my point up here a little bit. There is a band. There is a people. that truly cry and say, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." Not only the bright and brilliant, but from all walks of life, all walks of life. Yes, those in whom the Holy Ghost has quickened into divine life. And I say this, whoever and what you are, if you are quickened into divine life, this will be your desire, sirs, we would see Jesus. And it could be said, if we can't see Jesus, we don't have no more dealings here. If we can't see Jesus, we don't want to know anything about your activities or any about your leisure and pleasure, as you might call it. Friend, we would see Jesus. It's a great mercy, friend, if you're brought here, I would see Jesus, that I might follow him, that I might follow him. But when we think of it, when Jesus was here upon earth, he was not distinguished by his dress. He was surely distinguished by his power and authority. Those men that sought him, they didn't know who it was visually that they were looking for. But I believe this, they knew who they wanted to see. Yea, him who has power to save, him who has power to give life. I go a step further. He who has power to forgive and pardoned my sin. Surely then it is the poor sinner that would see Jesus. Like the good man in the parable that Jesus set for us, he smote upon his breast and said, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." But the Pharisee, he had all he wanted. He got everything he thought that was complete. But my friend, when it would come down to the judgment day, he got nothing, if that's all he possessed in his religion. Friend, what religion have you got to live upon and to die upon and to face your Creator in the great judgment day? I say, blessed be that soul who is deeply concerned, and so concerned that brings them looking and searching for Jesus, that they might join with the apostle who said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. I say, sirs, we would see Jesus. So then, let us come to this point of the convinced and convicted sinner. And they will surely be found and drawn from all walks of life, kings and paupers alike, poor and rich, beggars and the affluent. My friend, all alike, they come to this one point because they are convicted of their sin. Sir, we would see Jesus. Some might go to man and say, tell me that I am a child of God. Tell me that my sins are forgiven. And so that they, those whom they go to, may willingly oblige. But friend, there's no truth in it, is there? It will not be valid in the day of judgment. But surely in the day of judgment, it shall be said of self-righteous and proud souls as that, who have a form of religion, but not the power of it, "Depart from me, ye cursed. I never knew you. I never knew you." Friend, sirs, we would see Jesus, that we might be able to know him and the power of his resurrection. Friend, Jesus can only make a change, and he can only make that alteration. Jesus said of him, as in the parable, that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. And how could he be justified? My friend, only by the precious blood of Jesus, by Jesus Christ himself, by Jesus Christ conveying himself to them. Sirs, we would see Jesus. Oh, they that seek, Jesus said, shall find. They shall find. Sinner, has the Lord made you a seeker? In the depth of your conviction, then there is hope and good reason that the day will surely come when he will, you shall see him face to face without a veil between. When you shall hear him say, "Son, thy sins shall be forgiven thee." Sirs, we would see Jesus. Are those souls that are convicted? Those in, what are they convicted by? They are convicted by the law of God. For the law declares, the man that sinneth shall surely die. If we do not recognize the law, we will not desire to recognize Jesus Christ. God's law is holy. God's law is good. God's law, my friend, will ever stand. And the soul that is convinced of his sin by the Holy Spirit will surely believe so. They'll be found like the Israelites, when they sat in their houses, dressed and ready to go, and heard the wailing of the Egyptians because of the visitation of the angel of death in their house, they would look to the precious blood of the Paschal Lamb sprinkled upon the doorpost and the lintel of their houses. Ah, my friend, so would we be found there sitting and looking and saying, "Sirs, we would see Jesus who suffered, bled and died for poor sinners. We would see Jesus of him who came into this world so to suffer and said, 'I have power to lay down my life and I have power to take it again.'" Surely we would see Jesus here as our comfort, because, my friend, through sin we are powerless. But Jesus Christ through his blood and righteousness, he is all powerful. Did he not speak unto his disciples when he arose again from the dead with those wonderful words? I think the 18th verse in the 28th of Matthew. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. Ah, my friend, we would see Jesus who has all power. Men may seem to appear to be very powerful, but when they come into certain places and conditions, they find they haven't got a power that will meet those conditions. And therefore, they're not powerful at all. And the hand of death will take them and seize them. And they'll have no power to resist it. But, my friend, we would see Jesus, who is all powerful. Friend, he raises up the sinner that is dead in trespasses and sins to believe. And do remember this, true believing is twofold. Oh yes. It is believing first that we are sinners and worthy of eternal life. And worthy rather of eternal destruction. Yes, that the wages of sin is death. But it is also, again, believing that there's eternal life to be found through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, our poor nature has such a power over man. He will not believe this. Oh no, I'm not as half as sinful and as bad as that. But friends, we would see Jesus, who is all powerful. Yes, he convinced the sinner of his sin and lifts him up by believing and giving him that good hope through his death, his resurrection and ascension now into heaven. Friend, we would see Jesus. Oh, we would see that precious blood which has power, has a power to atone for sin. I say, what have we got to atone for our sin? What is there that atonement to, that we might be reconciled again to God? Why, this is the power of the atonement, isn't it? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It cleanseth us from all sin. It cleanseth us from all sin. My friend, is there some poor soul here today who sees their sins like a great mountain range or full of sin and a witness against our state and condition that we are worthy of eternal destruction? Sirs, we would see Jesus. Lord, we are still living and are on praying ground. We would see Jesus as our hope. Oh, did not the hymn writer say, if unto Jesus thou art bound, a crowd about him will be found, attending day and night. And that crowd does create darkness, doesn't it? Distress and lamentation. But I say, we would see Jesus. It is Jesus alone, my friend, that is that great and glorious light that can pierce through the deepest darkness. I believe that to be very so. I know it to be true. Where no other light can reach us, no other comfort. And the darkness seems to grow more and more intense. Our state and condition seems to get worse and worse. Ah, some might say, you have indeed a solemn illness upon you. You need to see a physician. Ah, my friend, we need a physician. That is true. We would see Jesus, who can heal and restore us from all our sicknesses, all our maladies, all those things that bring condemnation upon us, those things which are objectionable in the sight of Almighty God, those things that cause the poor sinner to cry out, "Behold, I am vile." Yes, we would say Jesus. My mind turns to that dear woman who did have that disease, did she not? And she suffered from it those many years and saw many, many physicians. And how did she get on? She grew worse and worse. Do you know that feeling? To grow worse and worse. She may have been advised to go and try another physician, but that was no use, because she had spent all that she had. And you say, that's just like me. I've come to the end of the road. I've got nothing left. I've come down to bedrock bottom. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So, my friend, we read that dear woman, she saw Jesus, did she not, in the crowd? She identified who Jesus was. Oh, we do need Jesus to be identified to us, that we might know who he was. Have we not on occasions mistaken people and addressed them with a name that does not belong unto them? And oh, I say, how foolish we feel to be when we have done such things as that. I say, but shall we address Jesus with a name that does not belong unto him? We would see Jesus as he is in his name, and that is the friend of sinners, God's own dear Son, whom God descended into this world to save from eternal ruin. We would see Jesus. We would identify him as such, for surely he is the one thing needful. And that dear woman, she saw him and she declared he was the one thing needful by saying this, "If I may but touch his clothes, I should be made whole." Friend, I believe this. When we see Jesus, then we are humbled under his almighty hand. If pride and arrogance fills our hearts, if we want indeed to parade ourselves and to make ourselves well known. There's something basically wrong with our profession. For the true profession lies here. We want to see no one else but Jesus and talk to no one else but Jesus. We want to touch none else but Jesus. And I go a step further. We want Jesus to touch us. I say, how merciful Jesus was to that dear woman. For when she saw that she could not be hid, then she came and told the one whom she saw as the Saviour of sinners. She came and told him all. And in her confession, friends, it was this, that she believed in him that could heal and cure and save her. I say, how much more so the sinner that feels the iniquitous mess within of all his sin and shame, and thus who is found crying, Sir, we would see Jesus as our Lord and as our Saviour. It would appear that these men have been told by somebody of Jesus, and it is good for us to listen to what others have to say of Jesus as they have seen him, to rejoice with those that do rejoice. But I say, the soul that is alive and that full knows his own sadness and iniquity will want to have that experience themselves. That's no strange desire, is it, that possesses your very heart? Lord Jesus, come and speak to me thyself. Tell me that my sins are all forgiven and that I am born of God. Sir, we would see Jesus. I want to come to another aspect of this. The desire in their heart drew them away. It drew them away. And I believe that is a good condition. When that exercise is in our heart to draw us away, when we are brought to that place to cease from man, from every man, and thus to say, sirs, we would say Jesus. You know the conflict that broke out amongst the Corinthians in the house of Chloe. Some believed that this was the great man and that was the great preacher of the day, and Paul was not at all impressed by this. No, he makes known that every man in the office of the ministry will have to do his own work, and it's only made good as Jesus blesses it. He wanted to see nothing else in the ministry than this. He was not interested in Peter, Cephas, Apollos or Paul, but is that I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Sinner, are you guilty of this, setting up one man over against another? Well, I'm sure it could be said that we have all been guilty of this in some way or another. But will that make good conversation? Will that make a good friendship, good company? No. But, sirs, we would see Jesus when every man is nothing indeed, but Christ is all in all. Amen.